This is the National Public Broadcast of Imam W.D. Muhammad, American Society of Muslim Leaders.
Now, in conclusion, I want to go back to what I said in the very beginning. People have to have an awareness, a sense of ownership. When you look at the language we use, home, certainly home may be nothing but one room, but it's home. Yes, home. Then you have out in a bigger perimeter, or in a bigger dimension, you have hometown. And even in a bigger dimension, you have homeland. Our homeland is the United States of America. So, you know, we have to really consciously identify with the United States of America as your personal home. Your personal home for the psychological benefits you need to make material progress in America and contribute to the growth and beauty of this great nation. And the more of us do that, the better America we'll have for the future and the better life we have for each other here in this great country, in this great land. So if you have to identify consciously with America as your homeland, so you're walking on this land, I don't care what town you're in, what state you're in, you're walking on your homeland. People who own these houses or these businesses, they don't own the land you're walking. That's the public domain. There's a private domain and the public domain. And even their houses are on your homeland. And you don't have any rights to anything private that is bigger than your rights to the land as your homeland. You may lose all of your private achievements, all of your private accomplishments, but if you hold to the belief that this land is your land, look how the Jews saying so strongly, this land is my land. You need that psychological support in order to do something great and make headway, progress, be productive. The white racist, he intended that we never come into this kind of mind. So he never intended for us to be free. He always wanted to use us as animals. And to benefit psychological, looking down at a whole people thinking he's better. He wanted that great psychological push, lift for his ego by keeping us in that position. These are our niggers. Okay, well, that's over now. He's gone. The two laws in the land that say black man here and white man there, that's gone now. So we are free. Well, let us accept that we are free, and not only accept that we are free, but as Malcolm said, what the white man wants is what a black man should want. White man would say, ask him once, he said, what do you all want? He said, ask yourself what you want. That's what we want. Well, understand that. We want as much as any man is entitled to. And if I don't get it, let me know. I have to know it's mine, even if I don't get it. A lot I got. I got the chances to whip up on some people. But I don't have to whip up on them to feel good. But at least I know I got that strength. Okay, so we got ownership and we got responsibility. Now, whether we carry it out or not, at least let us help many of our people as we possibly can understand that we are owners in the earth with responsibility given us by the Creator Himself. And that's what the visionaries, those great minds we call the founding fathers, that's what they're saying when they say we hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal and endowed by their Creator with certain inalienable rights among these life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. And no government can take it away from you. Why? Because God gave you that responsibility. God gave you that identity with something that belongs to you. I conclude with those words. May God open our hearts and open our minds to more of the responsibility that He created us for, and gather us together under the best of our minds or leaders, males and females, so that we can do more with our life and not have the white races looking at us saying black people can't produce anything but babies. We are proving to him now. He's ashamed now to speak because we have Colin Powell. We have so many in education, in business, in the cooperative world. We even have females that's outshining you. Females in the cooperative world. So the white races can't talk now. Thank God. Peace. Assalamu alaikum.
Going to have some time for a few questions, so if there are any questions, we have a microphone on both the left and the right.
What is the significance of the Haitian house? The Haitian God has commanded Abraham to rebuild the house. My question is, why is that house of six
pillars? Yes, what is the significance of the house?
Six pillars.
Why? Six pillars? I'm not familiar with six pillars. But the house has a lot to do with six, but more to do with five. Yes, and seven. There's a lot of numbers that's very significant for the house, all the way up to eight, the number eight, even ten really. The most important number is five, though. Five represents the common life that all of us share, male, female, black, brown, red, everybody. We share these five human senses. And in the Bible, a woman was washing at the well and dipping up water from the well. And it said that Christ Jesus, peace be on him, he said to the woman, he said, you have had five husbands, and the one you have now is not yours. Yes. So the five represents the common human life. And husbands represent heads, are ruled in the life. And we are ruled, all of us, are ruled by our five senses. The life is ruled by five senses. We hear, we see, we taste, we smell, we feel. So these are ruling in our bodies before we are educated or turned on to our purpose in this life. Our five senses are ruling in our bodies. And those five senses really are the life that feeds the intelligence and the mind, the thinking mind, works with the five senses. And you don't mind me sharing it, but this is very important what I'm going to share with you all. And educated people, they fail. They lose the proper relationship for their thinking mind with their five senses. Your children need to be healthy a lot. You have children in school, and they don't have a conscious awareness of the working relationship for their thinking mind with their five senses. If you hear something, your mind has to hear it, know what you heard, and then act upon it with the sixth principle, your thinking mind. Yes. So if the thinking mind and the five senses are working together, and the five senses are going ahead of the thinking mind, the only time your five senses shouldn't go ahead of your thinking mind is when they say, the place is on fire. You don't think, you get out of here. Okay? That's all the senses working together. All the senses come together. You don't have time to speak to you separately. They all come together to get the hell out of here. Yes. But getting back to five and six, the Kaaba for us represents five, the common life of all people. And we have to hold it sacred, because that's what the enemy of mankind exploit. They exploit the five senses of human beings. They exploit them to misguide you, to change even the nature of your five senses. Well, your five senses do not work for you as God made them to naturally work for you. So this is the sanctuary of human life. Sanctuary of human life is the human five senses, the flesh as God created it. Okay? That's the sanctuary of human life. And all people are united in that life. That's the common life for all people. Yes. But sixth is our father, Adam. God says that he made man on the sixth day. He made man. And Muhammad the prophet, prayers and peace be upon him, he says, no one is resurrected except on the pattern of Adam, the first man. He said that his pattern is 60 arm spans. 60 arm spans. There's a six with a zero. Six with a zero. A zero means consciousness. One, you add a zero, is 10. The boxer gets knocked out, he hits the floor. If he can get up before 10, he can start fighting if he's in shape to fight. But first they want to know, you might have made it up by 10, but are you really in charge of your faculties? They say, how many fingers do you see? Right? They're testing his awareness to make sure he's conscious, you see? Yes. So Muhammad said, take charge of five before five defeats you. Take charge of five before five defeats you. And who is that taking charge? The sixth principle, your thinking mind. Yes, I understand you. You're making me aware of the abuse that we are giving our youngsters are suffering from their own hands. And wanting to know how should we address that. Is that it?
Man, when you start asking anything new.
But you know, if you look at what has happened in Africa recently, how Africans have just turned on each other. And in a very savage way, that tells us, and you know, I used to think that really we weren't capable of that kind of behavior. I thought that was just white folks, you know. I said, well, a white man, his race got established first in Europe, up there in the cold area. I said, that cold climate just didn't encourage him to appreciate warmth and beauty and human life, etc. You know, I was trying to soothe him, okay? And I said, we were born on a warm continent, hot continent, and we did get the benefit of help from our environment to develop our human sensitivities and our human life, etc., you know, and appreciation for beauty and human life. But when I look at what happened recently, that makes me wonder. The answer is in the guidance that we get from God. God says, whoever will sin on his own soul, he will succeed and be successful. And whoever fails to sin on his own soul, he will be reduced in worth to the lowest of the lowest creatures. So human beings have in their nature the potential to rise to the highest possible creation of God. But also, if they fail to respect that life, that nature, to spend on it for its development and beauty, they can fall to the lowest of the lowest. The lowest of the lowest. I think that's what was said by a philosopher also, who said in human beings, or in mankind, you'll find all the creatures of the wilderness. All of the creatures of the wilderness. the highest and the lowest. You see? So I think the answer is this, ultimately, that we have to awaken the deep consciousness in our people. There's a shallow consciousness that we get from the world. But if we appeal to the soul, the depth in the depths of the soul, reach the depths of the soul, and have the person start to see themselves differently, that I'm created for bigger things than I'm interested in. And I'm a special creation. I have a creation that's higher than anything else God made. The elephant, the lion, no matter what, they're all beneath us. None of them could create a world like we created. Man has created a wonderful world. And if they can be turned on again to an appreciation for the value of human life and the possibility that it has for doing great things and wondrous things, we can defeat that spirit in them that is not having that kind of potential and power. And they will come into the new spirit. My mother said she could whip us into a spirit like that. She said, you can act crazy if you want. She said, but when I get so she said, I'm gonna make you take off all your clothes. I'm not gonna whip clothes. I don't believe in whipping clothes. She said, when I get to whipping you, she said, I'm gonna have you in another spirit. Thank God she never had to whip me into another spirit. But I think some people can be whipped into another spirit. But it doesn't always work, because psychology, before modern psychology, they thought you could be shocked into sanity, you know, and they put you in a dark room and just start firing guns and turn the light on. You say, I'm all right. But we can do more than that. We have to keep on showing them what others like them can do with their lives. So we have to build a great model of achievement, not just for us as individuals or for us as Muslims. We have to achieve a lot in the city of Newark to show them that we are creators ourselves, that we can create the world that our souls like to live in. That's what we have to do.
Alaykum as-salam. Excuse me.
Alaykum
as-salam.
I guess, really, ma'am, I would like to know, how do you respond to criticism from other Islamic groups for our community aligned with Minister Louis Farrakhan and the Nation of Islam? Because I've been going to various different websites, and several Islamic groups throughout the country have come down hard enough to the alliance that we have with our brothers and sisters in the nation. How do you respond to that?
Well, I wish they knew the leader that's the leader for them and us better, Muhammad the Prophet. I wish they knew him better. Peace be upon him. All I can say is that when we look at the Islamic world, this international community of Muslims outside of the United States, what we see tells us that we don't have any reason to listen to any criticism from them.
Thank you, Baba.
Yes. Over here. I don't hear.
Alaykum
as-salam.
How should we view
Africa and the rest of the world? As the world of mankind, all the worlds taken together, the world taken all together is the world of mankind. And all people taken together is the family of man. No matter how much we disagree with them, no matter how shamefully they are behaving, they are our brothers and sisters in humanity, and we can never forget that. We have to love them, and we have to realize that we have obligation to make some contribution to their betterment, as well as while we are working, partly on our own betterment. You're welcome.
Assalamualaikum.
Waalaikumsalam.
Joy, them backing up makes me stronger to go forward. Yes.
Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam.
Thank you for coming with us, Mr. President.
Thank you.
Really appreciate it very much. Actually, I have two questions, okay? The first is very, very short. I was wondering on your leadership and under the planning committee or in the ASM, is there a planning committee or supervisor who can help us build better Islamic schools for our children?
Yes.
Is there any type of plan, you know, action group within the ASM that are actively helping our Islamic communities around the country build better schools and focus on Islam for our children?
Yes. Yes.
The second question is just about Iblis having to struggle with Noah to get into the ark.
Yes. Yes. Okay. For the first question. Yes, we are constantly working our minds and hoping to develop more business that will give us finances, more finances, to develop our schools. And we have recently asked a group of educators to come together and form a team to work on the problem of improving our curriculum for the Muslim schools, to Islamizing the curriculum, teaching Quranic teachings and the life of our Prophet, upon him be prayers and peace, and so that these schools be part of one system, but now they're not. Everybody's having his own experiment in education, and we should have one curriculum for all of our schools. And that curriculum should be a curriculum for Muslim schools, meeting the curriculum requirement for
for America's public schools so that they can transfer, if they have to, out of or into other schools and graduate and have recognition in the, from the school system or in this system as well as in our own school system. But we are working on that, and I'm very much encouraged. I didn't know most of the sisters, though. I didn't know we had so many qualified educators in our community. They're coming together, and you'll be hearing from us. It's going to be nationally. It's going to become a national effort. You'll be hearing from us, and we're going to be working with everybody. I'm determined to have the right, good, strong Muslim leadership in our educators for our school. We don't have it yet, but we have to have it. And I think we got what we can work with. I'm very much impressed. We have a few brothers, but most of them sisters. The sisters seem to have all the degrees, too. It's a little bit disappointing, but we thank God that at least we have please keep your desire, and you keep working hard for it, too, brother, please. All right.
My question is this.
Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't forget the other question, but I just can't handle it now. I hope that fire ain't still around.
My question is based on which is more important at this time, setting up programs in the masjid that are geared towards the Muslims, or setting up programs in the masjids that will bring non-Muslims into the masjid?
The first, for us, is our number one obligation, to set up programs for the Muslim community. And really, if we set up programs in the right way for the Muslim community, we will be making a big contribution to the non-Muslim community in our neighborhood. Big contribution to the non-Muslim community in our neighborhood. Because if we really have real programs for the Muslims, it won't be just programs that have nothing but the Quranic teachings and teachings on Muhammad the Prophet. That has to be applied. Those teachings have to be applied. And the only way those teachings can be applied is when we see life growing stronger and more beautiful and more healthy for us in the community environment. And if we do that, we have to also welcome help and workers from the non-Muslims as well as from the Muslims, but we don't have enough workers ourselves. And this is how Allah intended, so we have to work with non-Muslims to develop the life we want in our neighborhood. It'll be an African-American effort. That's what it should be. We should be working inside the masjid to have our own contribution to the development of our neighborhood. And that should be an African-American effort, not just a Muslim effort.
More on the ministry of Imam W. Dean Muhammad, call our right. Ministry of W. Dean Muhammad, 1-708-798-6750. All right, Ministry of Imam W. Dean Muhammad, Post Office Box 1061, Calumet City, Illinois, 60409. For Muslim Journal, see local distributor. And thanks for listening.